Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our first community stream. We will try and pull people in and out. If you want to take part, do join our Discord. We'll be trying to get people in via the voice chat, but it seems at the moment people are a bit nervous to come in, so you might just take some audience questions and generally just talk about some gen. Well,
We
I'm
might
saying
also
general
just
twice there.
force some people into the hot seat just for the fun of it.
Yes. We
We'll see.
might just like randomly bring people on for no reason.
I think surprise guests and the surprises they weren't expecting it is a power move, frankly.
Yes, I do think so. So we when we feel like it, we will just pull people in and take people out. And we do have some exciting announcements this stream, but we'll go through those. We'll meet them out because there's quite a lot going on at the moment, actually.
I will first and foremost, though, pin the link in the chat for those people who are keen, before even hearing any details, want to go and purchase themselves a ticket for the next Nomos event. Then knock yourself out, feel free, buy tickets, do stuff.
Yeah, we've put that up today. We have just done it. It's gone up in the last half hour. And we're pleased. We've actually not to spill too much spaghetti and put too much out there. Everything's booked already. Like
I think
we didn't want to announce this.
we do still
Yeah,
need
we've
to properly pick a bit of venue for Friday, but we've got to the point whereby we have so many options that are already sort of half confirmed that that seems to all be sorted now.
I think I might have already got the venue for the Friday. I sent an email to the one we were talking about, and they seemed quite keen. So we might have provisionally a venue for the Friday at least already. So that's good. No, we
Awesome.
everything is in order. So yeah, for those of you who don't know, we do run real life events. We do like actually manifest ourselves in the real world.
Oh,
It's
really?
quite.
That's amazing. Don't you have to worry about feds? No, you don't have to worry about feds because it's our event.
Yes, it is indeed our own event, so we can just get rid of people.
I think you'll find it's a
Like we.
constitutionally guaranteed fed-free zone.
I wouldn't say guaranteed, but unlikely. I'd say people showing up randomly, and it's generally one of those things where you will at least tangentially know someone. So it has got like quite a nice community feel to it, and we have run two of them before. I'm sure there's a couple of people in here already who are listening to this probably who have been to our at least one of our events. So we did one in Manchester, we did one in Birmingham, and now we're doing one in London. We're slowly descending so southwards.
Indeed, we
And from
are.
the complaining that people did about having to go to the Midlands, I'm expecting a lot more people to turn up this time because everyone apparently lives in London, which is a bit depressing.
Yeah,
But for them, must be.
I know
Good God.
that's entirely true. We will live up in the peaceful north of Hobbiton.
But yeah, do put that on screen, Evelyn. Just
I
show people the
can.
nice image I made. James Mary asks an extremely valid question, which is how can you be a real distant group if you don't have any feds?
Is this the image for?
No, just put the Eventbrite thing up if you can.
Let me. Is there a link on the Nomos London tickets sale now? Let me move this Google tab over.
Yeah, we'll just we'll have like visual aids for people just because we find that helps.
Visual aids. Why would we want that?
It's
Daniel
better than
say
the other version.
it's better than the other version of AIDS. Yes, you don't want actual AIDS.
No, we. If people have not seen the site before, this is it. You can buy the tickets directly from here. Because it's London, we have tried to keep prices as cheap as we feasibly can. And of course, like the previous years, there will be what we refer to as early bird tickets for people who want to come and mingle on the Friday and also maybe throw an extra little bit of money in the hat. And I see that there is the tip the organisers thing here as well. We
Yeah,
might as
we that
well.
was a lot of people who couldn't come wanted to do that. Last time we got like 20 of those. It actually is what made us break even.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is a thing as well, is that You know, we don't just have to break even on the cost of the venue. There's the Airbnb, there's traveling around for the weekend. There's, you know, by the time you've bought people a few pints, it does add up. So any little help we can get from people is incredibly useful. And we will also hopefully have some extra things to maybe sell on the evening as well. But we shall see more about that in future.
We'll see what happens with that, yes. Again, as I do, I don't have the list here to hand. I don't want to read it out laboriously every stream, but thank you to our channel members. You guys do help. Most of I actually looked at our lifetime revenue for the channel the other day. Do you guys want to guess how much in ad revenue throughout the lifetime of the channel we have made?
In ad, what, in just ad revenue?
In just ad revenue, how much?
£1,488.
No.
That'd be interesting. I have
Just
no
ad
idea.
revenue.
Is it higher or lower than that number?
A lot lower.
I
Oh.
could. I was. Yeah. I don't know. 420.
No. Keep going lower.
600. Oh God. I will say as well that Fez has just said in the chat that he's bought a ticket already. So, first pints to you, good sir.
Yes. Well done. I'm just gonna make sure I've actually got the settings right on this, because I've just realized I might not have put my payout settings correctly.
Oh, this wait, I'll refresh. I'll see if he's bought an early bird ticket.
There has been one sold, I believe. Let's have a look.
Oh, it was a general admission. Ooh.
Ooh.
How many Twixes is that? I don't know. We've still not quite answered this question.
We're trying to figure out the Twix ratios. We're trying to do the Twix calculations.
Twix index.
The Twix index. We're trying to figure out how many Twixes it would take to host the event. Unfortunately, venues will not let us pay them directly in just Twixes.
Yeah, we need to use a
So.
medium of exchange like Dairy Milks or Mars bars because not everyone's a biscuit aficionado.
Probably
No.
more stable than cash.
I'm going to say at the moment, well, we need to create Twix coin.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, judging by the water content in food nowadays, nothing is stable anymore.
True enough.
See, I
The
noticed this.
water
I,
content.
as a kid, I used to like really enjoy like putting a double decker in the freezer during summer. Because then, you know, you'd leave it in there for like half an hour and then you'd have this frozen cold sort of nuggety thing to chew at. But now there's so much water in the nugget that it shatters like glass when you put it in the freezer. It's like, what's the fucking
Yeah,
point?
are
it all
they are they
crystallizes
water
out and yeah.
they're watering down the double deckers?
Yeah.
How, God, what a dire world we live in, where they're
But you can tell
watering down
you
the
put it in the
double
freezer and the
deckers.
thing just turns into glass. It loses all of its nuggetiness.
Mr. Glass. Oh dear. Well, shall we bring on our first surprise guest then?
What do we just pluck one from the other chat?
I'm just gonna pick someone at random and hope their mic's okay. There we go. Mr. JMRY, you are live on Channel 5. Please do not snow. God, that is such an old Big Brother reference.
Yeah.
That's terrible. I stop halfway through and apologize. How you doing?
All right. I mean, like, I don't know. I'm a James May fella because I'm gonna dox myself because why the fuck not? Sorry,
Oh, you are Mr. James Merry. So I've
yeah.
actually, through pure chance, I've chosen one of our channel members.
You've also like met me at that Nomos thing. I was the big fat fuck in the sweater who was annoyed that
Oh.
everyone else was all dressed up.
Oh, right. Okay. There will be a dress code this time.
Oh, Christ.
That we are being solid on the dress code. It literally is like no shirt, no
Yeah,
shoes, no service,
you're a big
basically.
boy. You're gonna need a suit at some point.
Yeah, but that's like funerals and court.
It's, and going to fancy events where you have to put your best on, not just in funerals and court.
At the very least, like chinos, a polo shirt and some nice shoes.
I can do that sort of shit, I suppose.
You can manage that. You can manage the I'm awkward at a work do look.
It's a sort of personal thing. You may feel like you look you're going to court in a suit, but not everyone else sees you in that way. So people who see you for the first time in a suit just think, oh, well, he's the kind of bloke that wears suits. Fucking good for him.
I wear suits in my day job. I can't be asked when I'm not there.
You've got to... It was quite amazing the effect that we had on like random bystanders who were like, who are all these people in suits smoking cigars? It's gone so full circle. Everything's so casual, smart casual now that people dressing up like shocks people. Mm. They look very bemused by it. And that's part of the effect.
It's a power move. It's I mean, turning up to court in a suit these days is a power move. I remember having to do that.
Well, did
long time ago, for no particular reason.
Did you borrow yours from Bright House by any chance?
No, I happen to have some very nice suits, and I had my very nice cashmere overcoat on as well. And everyone thought I was clearly there as a lawyer representing somebody else. Walked away scot-free at the end of it. They just went, "Yes, absolutely. You're obviously a good boy. You know, we're going to waive all the charges, and off you go."
Half the lawyers can't afford suits now anyway, because all the wages now, that's been cut.
Oh, no. Cost of living.
Who's going to think of the lawyers?
The poor lawyers.
No, it ain't that. No, I'm being kind of like serious here, because I've got like people who work in this sort of shit. Mm-hmm. Like family there. And like the whole thing is that you can have getting them paid at the actual like bottom rung sort of stuff is really hard when you've got people working basically like for like man, trying to like support man and van. So you can have I've known people who work 4 days straight and I've not been able to be paid for it. So it's just like.
Well, we can get into a little bit of that. It's the interesting angle that it seems like the establishment is telegraphing its attacks. It's like we are having this, like when the winter of discontent happened, I don't think for 6 months beforehand they were going, there's going to be the winter of discontent. It just kind of happened.
All I was trying to say, well, the lawyer stuff is the reason why it's happened is because of consolidation of power. They put a big thing through in like a lot of the South Yorkshire stuff where they basically only allow like two or three firms to speak to people in police stations. And so every single like little bloke has just got a little thing above a flat just instantly lost all their jobs.
It's the same everywhere. It's the same in the construction industry. We talked about it during the whole Infinite Council Estate thing, but there's really only 3 or 4 big construction companies in Britain that are allowed to take part in these government contracts.
Not to interject, but Coney Current Year is asking with his super chat there, very generous of him, will there be a non-trap infested Discord server for the community? I would point you towards the Telegram, my good sir, which is only infested with me and is then heavily managed by me, and I will be the only one in there.
If he's talking about the event stuff, though, we also have the Nomos Discord.
Yeah, we do indeed have that Discord, however.
Which I haven't actually announced. I just realized I've not pinged. I'm actually going to ping people in there tomorrow. This is like the provisional announcement. I don't want to overwhelm people. I know our stuff gets lost in the shuffle. Mm. So we put stuff up today. Make sure stuff's working, and then tomorrow I'm going to do a bit of a big push. But also, like you talked about, we don't want to overshadow the Witten stuff, as you talked about. So I'll try and promote some of that as well as, because I know that they're trying to sell the last of their tickets. See, so
thinking more on things like courts and stuff like that, though, if I'm right in saying, I know especially in Scotland this happened, that for about the first 18 months after lockdown, there wasn't really any new trials put in place across Scotland. So barristers basically sat around with their hands under their arse for 18 months getting paid their full wage. And as far as I'm aware, that meant that lots of the roles that they would perform prior to and have different sort of tiers of lawyers for were basically all consolidated into them working from home. Doing the job that 6 people normally do.
It's not just that. Part of the issue is that, like, I've got some family who work in like the pretty ugly, like hardly get any money sector. Is that there's been this massive destruction, right? Like, sorry, I'm trying to keep the brogue out of my voice, otherwise I'd be speaking unintelligible to all the colonials. But like, because you know, you do like this, like, so I'm just speaking in actual words. I'd like to do my Radio 4 telephone voice sort of jazz. But like, the part of it is that there's been this destruction of the legal profession, where effectively, instead of hiring a few people and getting them through articles, just hire like half a dozen bloody paralegals and pay them like tuppence halfpenny. And then on the second side, they've got a thing where they've been offloading more and more onto the barristers and stuff themselves. Like, I've got met in a family who's a barrister who's earning less money now than they were 15 years ago as a solicitor. And like, they don't earn that much, because especially when it's like, you know, man in van sort of stuff and some very, pretty ugly like political stuff, as mostly child abuse, if I'm being honest. But as the prosecution,
that's why you're not making any money.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's how it worked. It worked. I mean, they went to that because, you know, family situations weren't that great, so they thought they'd do their bit to stop other people having that. But it's all this sort of deal where it's all been winnowed down. And if you go into the corporate stuff, yeah, you get like easy money. That's just how it works. But like, otherwise, a lot of the barristers at the top end, yeah, are getting done. But like, some of the trials were held over a bloody Zoom, and like, it's and like half the people running it don't know how computers work. Well, so it's just insane.
It's a basic point made by both Rothbard and Hopper when they further delve into the issues of socialized justice as we have it nowadays, where there is one proprietor for the legitimation of all legal decisions, that being the state. It moves away from providing effective justice at a reasonable cost and instead provides injustice at an exorbitant cost.
It becomes the amount of justice is minimized and the cost of justice is maximized.
It begins to become the inverse, and what you actually get is injustice and predation. You get bads as opposed to goods.
I mean, it's what you're saying, like I said, with the consolidation, with like banning. And you can't. You've had people working there 40 years, and suddenly they're told you cannot do any case that involves a police report or interviewing anyone with the police. Like, again, it's all this stuff pulling in. And the people running it in the centre, who are like the bigger companies, they're just like eating everything else alive. It's same thing in the accountancy sort of deal,
I've heard all that. But apart from a few specific firms, they're really turning being a barrister, and especially kind of the process based, the public sector areas of law, they're being turned into council workers, like civil servants, in a very real sense, in that it's become, again, it has become a mill, and so many people have law degrees. A lot of people went out and were told to study law. They were told they'd have great careers after studying law. Yeah. It's like the IT glut we got in the kind of mid-2000s,
the 90s.
The IT industry has become basically a blue-collar industry in 90% of it, because what you're doing is you're actually a call center worker. You don't quote-unquote work in IT. And it's the same.
It's actually worse than that. If having a law degree, yeah, it can get you being a lawyer, but this sort of paralegal stuff, literally, they just tell you how to fill out 2 pages of a form and that's it. You're not, you know, and it's going through. You are hired effectively as an admin role, and so they get to, you need to hire you on like any sort of graduate wage or graduate scheme. I've seen people doing this on 0 hours contracts. It's insane.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that one too. Oh dear, that's the whole 0 hour contract thing and the legal, like the McDonaldizing, the McWorlding of the legal profession is something to be concerned about. But like I said, it's the same. It's very much the same all over. But to come round to the point, it was a good tangent, a good tangent to go on. But the establishment is standing there like windmilling its one arm, going, oh, things are gonna be bad, things are gonna be really bad, you're gonna suffer. And it's bizarre to me, because it's not something that like would be done earnestly. It doesn't feel genuine. It's like they're hyping the collapse up so they can come in and do something about it. It's very climate lockdowns. Mm. It's very people for bailouts.
I mean, if you want to look at like the real damage, just look at what's happened with the National Grid. It's like, Jesus Christ. I mean, this thing's been run at the ground for like at least past 15, 20 years. And plus that with the stuff like doing with like Sidwell and that sort of shut down. Like,
oh no!
Like, we haven't been able to hit like grid targets for at least like since 2020. Plus, on top of that,
you were trying to segue there. So, sorry, you were mumbly.
And I just saying that the way it's put up, at least with like the wires, like, are you aware? Like, how often these things go down? Like in the degradation, these things have got like a 15-year shelf life. Like, mate,
Evelyn, the segue, please.
No, well. It's funny you mentioned the sort of thing beforehand, because this is something we were talking about sort of prior to the stream that I find quite interesting. This is something I actually asked Lucas M. Engelhart after his lecture on hyperinflation at Mises U the other week. That a fundamental component of the process of hyperinflation is that at some point consumer expectations switch from, well, prices are going to go down at some point, to the expectation that, well, prices might never come back down, which is why you get what's referred to as the escape to real values, where people take inflating fiat currency and either convert it to some other currency that they believe to be harder, or a commodity money, or a physical commodity that has some form of other tangible use. And it seems to me very interesting that the media has spent the last 2 or 3 months now scaring us all about inflation. And it, you know, that surely they can't just be wanting to will hyperinflation into action for any kind of reason, unless, of course, they would have incentives to do such a thing.
I mean, you already know you've got the CDBCs sitting at the back ready to come in that sort of situation, general defaults. That's just the way it's going to run, isn't it?
It feels like they have to justify the crisis measures by causing a crisis. Well, it doesn't. It is. That's what they're doing. People are talking about cost of living crisis is, you know, it's as big an emergency as COVID. It's just, I know most people, maybe most people can see it, and they're just not bothering covering up what they're doing anymore, because, like, what's the point? They can just do it in the open.
I think the thing that's like most important about this, that if you think about like any sort of political theory and how it's supposed to work, is that you've got to basically get the masses of the pleb, the scum, the chum, the chuds, whatever, on side, right? And
came the chuds.
I mean, you've got to get them, like, that's just how it works. You get a big mass, the kulaks, and then any that's how your democracy works, effectively, at least, you know. But the issue is that but what I mean, like, is that in any sort of situation you would expect, like, there to be some political will, and this is, like, I think, for the smoking gun for most people, the problem with most sort of these political chats. It's fine to talk about all your obs and your opera and all what have you, but if you turn it around and say, like, what is the one that will get most people mobilized, like, how do you form something that will effectively, if you can make the man the street like 10 grand more and make sure that he ain't fighting for, you know, a job with an immigrant, you know, he will, like, go to the death with you. And, like, and I feel like it's incredible that we see there's no sort of political movement anywhere, really, like, mainstream, that is centered Northern around Baz.
Northern local Labour parties still play into that messaging.
Well, they tried to.
Yeah.
I mean, I live in a Labour place that's been Labour since there was Labour, and they just put brown people up and they don't give a shit.
Maybe because you live in an area where there's more brown people than white people, possibly.
Yeah,
No, it's not, but the light pretend there are.
That sounds very... like the same problem I have around here. It's sort of. I mean, I live around in the Midlands, and yeah, we get that type of advertising.
Anyway, thank you for coming on, James. We'll try and cycle in more people.
I'll piss off, right?
No, it's good. Again, this is something we're going to try and do at least every, I don't know, few months maybe, to try and have a community stream, because it's I don't know, it's criminal we haven't done one already. But I will boop you back into Plebsville. There. You have been booped. right. Actually, quickly, shall we set up a story before we bring someone else in?
Yeah, I was going to go for the 300 billion missing one, but there is two that I think link together quite nicely. And this is about, you know, the channel smugglers drop prices and cram more people onto boats. And then obviously, because of all this happening, the number of asylum seekers languishing in UK hotels trebles in a year.
Languishing.
Yeah, they're languishing with free heat, free food, and whatever else they could want in a hotel room that they get the sheets changed and new towels put out every day for free. But no, I can't remember.
That's a different definition of languishing that I'm aware of.
It's not like they're living in the fucking camps, is it?
Yeah, they should be. So much for Rwanda.
Yeah, exactly. The hotels in Rwanda must be bloody cushy. But no, I can't remember if they've got exactly the stat in here.
You got this on screen?
No, I haven't. I've got the questions in chat thing up because I'm a fucking retard. Here we go. It's Guardian article, but it's one of those things where they're so honest about the reporting of immigration as an issue. Because for this is the thing we should maybe emphasise more, and I think we have in past, and maybe need to mention again, that any time immigration is brought up in the UK or any policy around it is discussed, it is now all centred around the rights of the migrant, the rights of the asylum seeker. And it's not that them arriving over here on dinghies by the hundreds every day is a crime against British people. It's a crime against them, because we should actually make a bridge out of the British population of people from France to Dover, and they can walk across our backs the 12 miles across the channel or whatever it is.
Yeah.
We should be operating a similar sort of catch and release scheme to the way they do it with fishing, where you the Navy go out there, they catch them, they pull them out of the water, and then they just throw them back in.
Last year, 28,526 crossed. Yeah, I'm sure it was only that little. Up from 8,400. Uh-huh. It quadrupled! It quadrupled in a year. How much money did George Soros have involved in this? And this year, more than 13,000 have crossed, including more than 8,000 since the Rwanda policy was announced on 14th April.
Well, that worked, didn't it? That was a deterrent.
The coincidence. I wonder which direction the causality goes here.
Thank you for the £5 donation, Supreme Member Kizza. God, one day I'll find an off day where my head is empty, no thoughts, and I'll just talk about Robot Wars with Craig Charles, because that sounds like a good laugh, and I keep forgetting. So thank you for reminding me.
Is this one for when we make like Scrump Gold?
Yeah. We'll make like Scrump Gold and do Scrump Gold things. But
we have to talk about America's Robot Wars as well, because they had some fun shit over that.
I will quickly. Oh no, he's
what
left.
Was that?
I dragged in another guest, and he immediately retreated.
Another one ran.
Oh no! They're saying one Syrian asylum seeker, who was of course Syrian because it said in a piece of paper that he was, told The Guardian that the smugglers had dropped their prices dramatically. Before it was 3,000 or 4,000 across. Now the price is 1,200 quid. Bog off. Bargain. Bonus
bog off,
bargain. Bog off asylum seeker steals. Come down to George Soros's place. We've got ribs by the shelf.
Oh, dear.
That's 1,200 quid to get across the channel?
Yeah, if I was 500 quid to cross... That's not bad. It's probably cheaper in the bloody channel.
You can buy a fucking dinghy for 500 quid that can get at least 10 on it.
This is the thing.
There's no record. You can just go over there, collect the cash.
Yeah. No, that's what
I'm
thinking.
Take a quick half an hour trip out, come back, collect another lot.
No, you get a van full of dinghies, make sure to pop holes in them, and then send them all out blown up so that they get about halfway across and the things run out of air and you walk away with the money.
I will nick another guest since our previous dragon bravely ran away like Sir Robin.
I mean, they at least have some element of truth here. They said the quality of treatment of asylum seekers from the French government is decreasing every day. I'd run out of bloody France too, to be honest.
Grand Synth
Dunkirk, 500 people are living without access to water. They live in the channel, there's water right fucking there.
Ah, dear. Mr. Little Gamba, what do you think of the dirty now?
Okay.
How long have you hated immigrants?
Personally, I was a bit indifferent to them. I think I'm at that age where I'm just like, okay, immigrants coming into the country, it's kind of a normalised thing. I know it never used to be.
Obviously, I've just noticed this on the sideline here. Marcus Mumford, I was sexually abused as a child. Now we know who the sons are in Mumford and Sons.
Mm. Oh, no.
Oh. Jesus.
Oh, no. That's a rather... oh, no. Now I just feel bad.
That's the point.
Oh.
Sorry, that I too soon. It happened when
I
was away.
No. I just I'm pro women and children
and future engineers and doctors.
Oh yeah, no, these guys are definitely going to build Sizewell C or whatever.
the dinghy doctors. You know, Every time I see your name, Little Gambia, I think it says Little Gambia because I'm dyslexic and I.
The lore behind my Discord handle is my dad's nickname is Gamba, which I found out was Spanish for prawn. So, I'm Little Gamba.
I used to read it as Little Gambit, which I thought would be a great rapper name.
Lil Gambit is great. Little Gambit sounds like he spits fire.
He's
probably coming across. No. Let's be fair. They're all Little Ahmed on the boats. We can't even get SMH. We can't even get the good ethnic music.
As soon as he gets off the boat, he drops his SoundCloud mixtape.
Yeah. He's actually giving his SoundCloud link to the RMLI people.
The world's first drill track over a Bangra beat.
He's actually spitting bars as they rescue him from the calm sea with a helicopter.
Lauren Southern's there to film the music video.
Yeah, she's pretending to push him back off the coast whilst holding a camera, and they had to do the take like 5 times because she's useless. God, remember Lauren Southern? Remember the wheat fields?
Yeah, didn't she post a video recently that looks like it's like 3 hours long? I've been meaning to watch it, but then I keep on finding something better to do with my life than watch 3 hours of Lauren Southern.
That's probably why.
I mean, how does someone that useless get banned from a country?
I don't know. Are we just gonna have like a bitchy stream?
No, because I'm about to pick more bits out of this. Far from the glitz.
No, I just wanted to get my little jab in. So.
Fair enough. No, far from the glitzy hotels people may imagine, these are not places anyone would want to stay in for long periods. They are cramped and unsafe. I wonder why these hotels full of migrants would be unsafe. Are they not peaceful people? You know, are we, or have we all had amnesia and forgotten the fact
that... I can't stay here. I'm surrounded by illegal immigrants.
They had to shut down Glasgow city centre for about 8 hours because one guy was running about one of the Holiday Inns on the main street next to George Square with a machete chopping up his fellow hotel inhabitants over a drug deal that went wrong.
How do you do, fellow?
Virtuous immigrants? It's how you free up extra rooms for them to languish in, I guess.
You ever seen the film Battle Royale?
Yeah.
That's how you get a visa, right?
Right.
There are 100 of them, and the one who survives.
It's a great idea. We televise it. We get our ad revenue going.
This event
one of them is hiding in the trees with a katana, just waiting.
And what we do is the one that gets in, we immediately hire him, stick him in the special forces, and send him off somewhere.
I was going to make a joke. That's how you get Gurkhas, but that's just like people not falling off mountains instead.
No, I've just realized this event has its own fucking Wikipedia page. The Glasgow Hotel Stabbings. Approximately 12:50 on 26 June 2020, a man stabbed 6 people in the Park Inn Hotel, West George Street, in the city centre of Glasgow. 42-year-old man of a questionable ethnic origin, a 17-year-old boy from Sierra Leone. Other injured men are 2 asylum seekers and 2 hotel staff members.
So, 30-year-old Somalian man.
Yeah, at the time of the attack, the Park Inn Hotel had been closed to all potential guests of the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank God for the COVID-19 pandemic. God knows how many white people had been helplessly stabbed to death in hotels up and down Britain had they gone and stayed there during this time period.
Is the stabbing in Glasgow particularly unusual? Yeah, or is it normally just bottlings?
Black Dublin makes the point that stabbing in Glasgow is very unspecific.
That's why I was saying more that this one has its own Wikipedia thing. It's
it's not a stabbing. It's the stabbing.
What's different here is it's not an Englishman that's gone up to Glasgow and wandered into the wrong pub.
Ah, no, see, we don't do that anymore because that's like shooting fish in a barrel. That's why they've had to move all the Sierra Leone people up to Glasgow, so it's a fair fight.
Fair.
Is that like Alien versus Predator?
Yeah, basically. Except from, like, depends if you're in the Catholic areas or not.
Glaswegian versus Somali.
Oh, my money's on the Glaswegians.
And the significant lack
you remember
of the
you remember
Glasgow
that airport? You remember the airport incident with the guy that came in set on fire and you just got the shite kicked out of him?
Oh no, I know about that one. There's some great jokes about that.
I remember Dan's video on it.
Yeah, there was I'll see if I can find the newspaper.
How are you?
Yeah, for them, just fucking did him over on the spot. It was brilliant.
Oh, I did. We have lost our guest, unfortunately.
Oh.
Thank you for joining, Mr. Gamba.
Let me see too if much I can Glasgow. Find this headline. Because if you haven't seen this, this is a fucking belter, as we would say. Yeah. I kicked burning terrorists so hard in the balls that I tore a tendon in my foot. Hero cabbie.
Yeah. Oh god, that's like a daily sport.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Like, that's like the inverse headline of "Now I suck off dogs for quavers."
Oh yeah, no.
I used to be a millionaire. Now I suck off dogs for quavers.
Yeah, those quavers were good though.
I will drag in another guest then, since the guests keep abandoning.
God, there's even a Phoenix Knight reference in the picture on the left here. It's from July 2007. Real throwback. This is the real Recurrent Effect Fresh Prince. Laughing at jokes about the Glasgow terrorist attack.
Well, that was 15 years ago.
What's funny is that the guy filled his Range Rover full of petrol, like, thinking that would make it more flammable than it already was. It was a
Range
petrol
Rovers
one.
Range Rovers are all flammable. but yes, hello, really naughty Caesar. I keep seeing you donate in the chat, so thank you for letting us snorkel your shekels.
Oh, you're welcome. Especially since now, you know, kind of unemployed since I left Amazon.
Oh, you did say you couldn't work for Amazon anymore, and good work. On you for not abandoning your morals.
Yeah, I tried to make it through, but someone literally tried to cancel me, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm fucking done.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Well, see, maybe this is something we can go on to discuss as well, that so much of all the hate speech crap really actually revolves around there being someone in a bureaucratic position of power actually willing to make a case about it. The existence of the laws themselves doesn't mean that you're going to get arrested for saying shit in public. The vast majority of times you just get away with it. People don't care. It requires that moral busybody, as we used to say as a phrase.
It requires the hand to read. It's very anarcho-tyranny.
Mm.
It's very like a law against driving geese through the town on a Sunday. There's a lot of legal anachronisms, and yet you'd think, like in a lot of countries in Europe, a lot of European law becomes legal anachronism because they just cannot be bothered enforcing it. Try enforcing EU law in fucking Greece and rural Italy. Good luck. Good luck with that. Good luck enforcing like the EU working time directive in a lot of countries as well. But you're right, it requires that class of people to come in. And I don't know, Chas asking about the wage cage. Was the wage cage ever real?
Wage cage?
Oh, it's a patent that Amazon had on it's like a forklift with a cage around it that people would work in. It was a hybrid picker and desk / prison. Amazon employees.
Okay, so yes, in a way it is. It's not like a forklift, but it's like this little platform that keeps you absolutely separated from everybody at the space. You can barely hear any, like, there is someone across from you, but the machines are so loud, no one can hear you. And you've got like everybody on these stations like working 10 to 12 hours a day, just hearing the sounds of just machines, and it's just awful for those people, and they're getting paid like what, $15 an hour for that, so it's just not worth it. Jesus. For a lot of people.
I've the best description I ever heard of Amazon was a Rube Goldberg machine made out of human misery, which I think was very... I like to use that one every time it's mentioned because it's so fitting. I can't remember where that came from. I think I saw it in passing on Twitter or something like that. If I remember correctly, unfortunately, it was from some sort of like lefty journal. It's like worst person you've met makes brilliant point.
It was the same when we were doing the stuff on rewilding, and I casually threw in the title, the tagline, a 21st century land grab, having forgotten the fact that I had read the exact same line at a bloody Guardian article the previous night.
Yes, it's funny because you can utilize, like we use the Guardian there, you can utilize the saying the quiet part loud stuff. It's like we keep saying, a lot of the pointing at the Guardian headline is like the ritual humiliation. It's like all the people who think that the Great Replacement stuff is like cutting edge. Mm-hmm. They think they are the shit when they mention that. And that's been like accepted canon since like the early 90s, really. So, I don't know, not to dox yourself too much, but like how is Amazon to actually work for then? Because I don't think I've, apart from people who've literally done the horrendous human machine picking, I don't know anyone who's actually worked for Amazon.
So it's honestly, some people can succeed at it, others do not. Clearly, I did not. I couldn't hide my power level at all, and it was just so I just couldn't blend in well. It was kind of a human machine of misery, especially since I worked night shifts, and that was just awful for me. So I'm working from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. I'm just like, I hate this.
That does sound awful.
That is a hellish shift as well, yeah.
Yeah, and watching other people just be as miserable and not make as much as me, it just drags me down. And what makes it really worse is that it's like being in a high school. So everybody's gossiping, everybody's rumoring, and now you have to defend yourself against the rumors, and you're a manager. Oh, great. Now you've got a big red vest on, literally a big red vest, and you've got so you're pretty much a target, and that's what drove me insane. I was like, yeah, I ain't dealing with this where, you know, someone's going to just say something bad about me, and next thing I know, I'm getting investigated by HR.
HR, that's the big machine. We talked about the legally imbued busybodies.
It really is. The HR, since becoming HR, really, as well, because it used to always be personnel. Back in the 80s, personnel. Mid-90s, it suddenly started being human resources, and ever since then, it's been just steadily plummeting downhill.
They've actually changed it now, too.
Really?
It's actually called PXT, for People Experience Technology. And
I
let me call it there now. And I was like,
technocratic hell is this?
I just said, why don't you just skip it and just call it the Bureau of Labor Retention?
The Bureau of Wasting Everyone's Time. I don't think I've ever actually dealt with a human resources department like in that manner before. I've luckily always managed to skirt the edges of HR.
You're someone that clearly has never worked in recruitment at any point in time.
Yeah, see, I don't think I could do the proper career thing. I think I'm too... Like I've unassimilated myself from the system so heavily that I can't, like, I can deal with quote unquote normies, you know, people at the pub that have got trade jobs or are self-employed, or, you know, that, like, those folk I have no problem with, but you're sort of middle rung, you know, store manager or middle manager of an organization. I just want to see them hung, drawn and quartered. I have no respect for them whatsoever. Yeah.
Synergize me some lima beans, basically. Those people. we need some blue sky. I can't work with those people either. And though, to be fair, those people, unless they're in a large organization full of bloat, they don't want... They really can't function in the private sector where money has to be made.
Mm.
That's why you have to have these giant bureaucratic... Like, companies the size of Amazon.
Yeah.
Or companies that, you know, conglomerated... to support this, because if they're not monopoly sized, you can't support these people. The cracks begin to show very quickly if somebody who's a mid-level or a high level isn't pulling their weight in a company of, say, 30 or 40 people. You really feel it.
I'll tell you what, you really see it as well, because as you know, I used to work for Roysis, which is a gigantic aerospace company. And the amount of people in there that are 50 and over have worked at the company 20 plus years. And I'm not saying they're completely coasting, but there's an awful lot of meetings that are held where there's an awful lot of people just having a cup of coffee and chatting and shooting the shit for a lot of the day. You can't do that in a company with 100 people. Yeah, the wages that they're on, they don't do anything at all. Sort of. Some do. But, some do a lot.
Yeah. But, it becomes very uneven. And that's something like you. It's the only way your Amazons can exist is that they get that critical mass, and the only way to get that critical mass is to have government contracts. I keep laughing at people who think that Amazon got so big by selling books. Amazon Post, like 2005, is a defense contractor. They have they do all the data for the Pentagon along with Google.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. I think, what was it, in their first quarter report, Amazon's the distribution area, everything else lost money, but it was Amazon Web Services that kept us in the green made all the money back.
The American and British governments paying hand over fist to store data on their servers. I bring it up. I've brought it up like every week. We've been streaming that I've learned this, but I just cannot wrap my head around it at all.
They get into so much trouble with it as well, because the export control laws and various other data control laws in America, if data is on an American server or, you know, overseas, it basically is modified in any way, shape or form, it becomes American property. So if an English firm is dealing with using Amazon services and gives Amazon servers or gives data to Amazon servers to look after, it essentially stops being English data and that company's data. If it's anything to do with security, the American government can just go, no, that's ours now. We don't want you to deal with India. You can't deal with them anymore.
Have we looked at the City AM link yet?
Have app. I was waiting to see if we were going to go through a change from on the hot seat or just gonna drop in.
No, we'll roll for a little bit. We can do if you want, but I'm not sure actually who I would. I might pull in our previously fleeing guest. I don't know. Aurelian Nodius Caesar, do you have anything to shill or anything you want to say before we cycle you out? Because I've realized it's getting towards 9.
No, I have nothing to shill, nothing to say. Just got to be here.
It's good. It's good to actually talk to people. Again, thank you. I do notice your donations to the chat. Being a smaller channel allows us to do this. I'm quite enjoying not being like swamped with noise and bots and generally flying under the radar a bit.
I enjoyed your chats with SFO back in the day, so I just followed you guys when you made your own channel.
Fair enough. A lot of people say that. A lot of people know me from being the perennial guest for a while, but it's nice to actually have a community that I have control over.
I am now doing the perennial guest. In fact, I can see Mugut in the chat there. I'm going to be hanging with him on Friday in that Crime Guy stream about the Florida Man, which I've been doing.
Speaking of, I'll cycle out. I'll see if I'm guessing he has a microphone. Then I know he's muted right now, but see if he notices.
Noticed.
We'll see. I'll at him, and if he doesn't unmute, I'll cycle someone else in.
Mary in chat, seeing any chance then for a throwback stream about ethics and video games journalism? No.
I audible.
You are.
Yes, you are audible.
Okay.
That's good, bro.
We are not sponsored by them, like everyone is.
No, this is
Shadow Legends.
I think this was you sent this into the Discord the other day. I did, yes. However, I noticed it's been recently updated, so this is not the same This article contains changes, I see, from the other day.
Does it?
Well, it says Wednesday, 10th of August up here. I understand maybe they're just giving off the current time. I'm not too sure, but I know you sent this to me on a previous day, so I just
I
wonder if they're changing.
Maybe it's been updated.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But no, the record $300 billion wiped off UK bonds as gilts as investors flee in biggest market collapse in decades. Which is an admittance that sort of 10-15% of the equity that was in UK bonds has either disappeared or run off into other aspects of capital.
Well, I want to say, first of all, I double checked that this has only been reported in a handful of places. It's not been reported widely, but I double checked the numbers. The numbers are right.
Mm.
Like, this is happening. This is real. This isn't clickbait. You know, I as much as I don't like to go herd a reputable sources, you also just don't want to be a Q retard who believes everything you read on the internet. But no, this did happen, and the rest of the world seems to have just kind of shrugged.
Well, yeah, because the thing we found kind of interesting is that there is this, you know, near 13% fall in overall sort of corporate bonds and index funds, yet the FTSE 100 only fell by 3% in the same morning. Now, unless I've missed something, it's not really fallen drastically since then on. Which means £300 billion went elsewhere, and not much came out of the stock market, quote unquote, itself. So I'm just wondering, is that going to be where, you know, is this the man on the street investor basically sitting holding the bag while everyone else gets out?
Basically, yeah. Well, the bond yield thing, they've revised down. It's kind of a prediction about value. They're slashing yields, which makes me wonder, like, where are people putting their money? If you're not putting it into, like, government bonds, you're not putting it into what would be kind of big corporate bonds, which is seen as generally quite safe, like, where is all the money going?
Who knows?
Around here, real estate.
Yeah.
Is that what's happening in the US then, do you think?
Here in Colorado, it's commercial and residential real estate, especially condominium complexes.
So is the boomers trying to buy up all the property again?
Yeah, and then pawn it off before the inevitable bust.
I don't think they can, though, because there's not, like, where's the bigger idiot? If you've got boomers just playing musical chairs with a whole bunch of what is essentially worthless property, how do you stop a huge number of people holding the bag when there's so many bags going around to stretch them out?
They're hoping BlackRock or Vanguard will buy it from them if they beat Vanguard or BlackRock to the property.
Well, I think as we've talked about before, we reckon a lot
or the Chinese.
There's a build up to, you know, a bailout for the people, by the people, etc.
The furlough and the stimulus on steroids is what we're predicting.
Not just that, but the way that you'll get your bailout is by signing up to the CBDC network or the blockchain network or whatever they're going to call it.
Yeah. You'll download an app and they'll bail you out through the app.
Yeah,
it's not feasible. The systems crash.
If you still want to be paid in cash, you'll pay a tax premium for paying cash, either as a bank holding fee or some sort of ridiculous thing from HMRC that says, well, obviously we're moving away from cash-based systems, so we're going to have to charge a premium for people who deal with cash.
Tom Lowe says, you are talking about boomers making sound decisions. Oh, no. Were people who bought property in 2006 making a sound decision? The only reason that the boomers didn't lose their pensions and become an impoverished generation is because of the bailouts. Like, that's what happened. The boomers were essentially bailed out previously. Like, that's what 2008 was all about. Everyone who's heard of Goldman Sachs doesn't understand what's really going on. It's going to be like that, but I think you're right with the BlackRock angle there, Magrut. Basically, as we've talked about previously, BlackRock is like a quasi-governmental organization already. They own so much stock. They have become corporation.corporation. They've become business.business. They're like an anime villain megacorp, but, you know, real. That's what they've become.
With Vancouver and San Francisco disallowing mass purchases from China, China's come in-country, say, into the Rocky Mountain West and the Midwest, and they're just buying up just buttloads of real estate and agricultural land and commercial real estate.
Well, the reason that's happening is because they're fleeing their own collapse.
And COVID actually is delaying their collapse because nobody can get out of the house, basically.
I
need to give a quick for Yazin because he's bought a ticket and he requested one.
Thank you for that. Even though, I don't know, if we sell enough, we'll probably try and refund you there, or at least give you something, because you are going to be designated photographer again, Yasin, and you have been exceptionally helpful to the entire process before. But we'll see. We'll try and get. He is Polaroid man.
Oh, he's Polaroid man. I know what you mean now.
I'm sorry, Yasin. I have actually turned you into Polaroid man.
You are. That is your name now. I'm sorry.
He's like a superhero. A lot of people.
You don't see a Polaroid camera very often these days, though, do you?
They went through a hipster resurgence maybe 5-10 years ago, and now they've faded back.
Hmm.
But he's got a very, very good one. It's not like one of those really stupid inkjet printer slapped onto a 2009 digital camera, like a lot of them are.
Yeah.
It's an actual Polaroid. It's not a really shit printer strapped to a really shit camera. So that's good. Well, yeah, a lot of people think that the Chinese buying up land is purely the economic imperialism angle. There is some of that. A lot of them are basically...
It's capital flight. Almost all of it anymore, with Evergrande or whatever its name is.
It's also bargaining chips as well between sort of different national governments when they have these sort of puppet companies that own large swathes of land in the city centre of cities and other nations. They can be like, well, you know, we need you to do this for us, so here's basically an unquantifiably expensive piece of land in the centre of your capital city. Makes for a good bargaining chip.
It does, and it's also security. A lot of the companies that are failing in China are getting their liquid cash into the U.S. so that they have something to sort of prevent the fall. Because Evergrande is the only... What are their name? But the second and the third largest mortgage and insurance indemnity companies are also failing. They're about to fail to repay their loans.
Evergrande is referred to as Chinese BlackRock, but the other one's referred to as basically Chinese Vanguard.
Basically, and they're about to default on their interest payments, too.
It's kind of fits in nicely with the stream we did the other week about China's Belt and Road, which I got. They've since been, like, deleted as spam, I think, but we got a bunch of, like, angry comments from Indians who didn't understand what our stream was about because we made fun of the border incident in which their armies both waved their fists at each other and fell off a hill.
They weren't allowed to use firearms, so they used sticks wrapped with barbed wire and rocks, and the Indian colonel fell off the cliff when he was pelted with rocks. And yeah, that was... I paid attention to the Ladakh incident, and there was more to it than that, but I didn't understand the politics because, well... It's Indian politics.
It's also just really shit and funny. It's very space program superpower by 2020, as they always used to say.
Poo
indeed does go in the loo.
But the Indians have really improved what's going on, and they've also taken off some of the restrictions just because of the moves China's made on the Tibetan Plateau. They opened up an Air Force base, and they also, the Chinese finally got smart and basically put up a base for altitude boot camp because Chinese soldiers were suffering so bad.
Not to get into too much geopolitics, but it's funny that India is pushing away China with one hand, but actually bringing it closer with the other.
Because I was going to say, they've got that BRICS thing, haven't they?
Well, they also are very unhappy with the Western sanctions on Russia.
Yes.
And Russia and China have been driven further into each other's arms, and they're kind of pulling Russia closer with China, kind of attached to it at the hip a little bit. And it's a very interesting situation in which you have, geopolitically, you have a lot of border dispute there, but economically and in terms of economic policy, there's actually a bit more of a closer alignment with the sanctions between Russia and China in some ways. Sorry, between India and China.
You say they're unhappy, but there's this whole sort of, oh yes, we're terribly unhappy with this. We're going to buy a whole bunch of that Russian oil. Hey guys, do you want to buy some oil?
They are middlemaning a bit. Yeah,
they are middlemaning and making a pact.
Very much so. It's Modi's very bright on economic blackmail, basically.
Right for an Indian. Let's not go too far here.
They are a cunning bunch when it comes to commerce, I'll tell you.
For
sure.
They told China basically, oh, we'll sell you oil, and China's like, well, we can do this and we can do this, and India just looked at him and said, we can park our destroyers and our cruisers in the Malacca Strait and you can buy it directly from us. Oh, okay, we'll look at this deal.
I wonder where they got that idea from. That doesn't sound like gunboat diplomacy at all. Oh no, they've learned.
Well,
India's warships might be crap compared to the US and Britain, but they're better than Russia's, and they're way better than the Chinese blue water ships.
I don't know. We can get into again. We just need to make a whole stream about crap China and all the stuff like it. As we talked about during the Belt and Road stream, a lot of the China stuff reminds me of the American panic in the '80s about the Fox Bat, that was a sheet metal brick that destroyed itself going as fast as it did. But it's
the titanium explosion. Yeah. Oh,
I mean, it was designed to do that. Yeah, I'm very much of the opinion that there was an awful lot of, behind the scenes, we'll trade ideas to technology to Russia, and Russia will trade titanium back so that America and England could actually get hold of titanium. And that funded at a different level.
We could have made a Lancia style mistake there. Oh, the cheap second-hand Russian titanium from old tanks.
Oh, the DOD had so many contacts with international mining companies that they made so many backroom deals. They were basically funding the USSR without the USSR being able to acknowledge it by buying all the titanium through effectively shell companies.
Yep.
Well,
technology was flowing the other way and all sorts.
Yes.
Nuclear materials, the works.
We'll have to talk about, we should just make a stream called The 5-Year Plans Never Ended. Because they never really did. What really else didn't. Do we have on the news docket then?
We have a collection of stuff. This one's from LSE. God, I hate LSE.
Well, before we do that, I was just going to thank Mr. Mugroot and cycle him out.
Mugroot, that meme you sent me earlier had me in stitches for a good.
Yeah, period. I put it in the general chat.
Did you see that? You'll love it. It's a 9/11. 9/11 was an inside job. Jet fuel can't burn through hot enough to melt steel. And the other guy goes, well, remember, jet fuel wasn't anything on those planes. They could have also been carrying tanks full of mind control agents. They used to make chemtrails. Who knows what temperature that burns at? Whoa. Good point, dude.
It's in the general voice chat.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw the...
That's been giving me many giggles today.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. Anyway, is there anything you have to shell before we cycle you out?
Freaking Florida Man Friday on that.
Oh, no, that crime guy is shilling without being here. This is terrible.
He's kidding, yes.
I'm his assistant.
Oof. On that note, budding. Right. I think we'll have a couple more quick guests, then we can kind of do a bit of an outro.
Yeah.
Because we've got about 25 minutes left, but we'll do a bit of a shoot the shit. But I'll let Mr. I don't know how you say that. William is a some. William as some. I don't know. He left again. He left again. Okay, that's your last chance.
He's just scared. Done.
He's so scared. I know what we can do.
Anyway, I'm gonna
quickly skip. What is the silliest Finnish word that you know? What's the silliest word in Finnish you can think of?
Viuhahtelisinkohan. Translation: I wonder if I should run around aimlessly while naked.
Thank you, Skip. This has been your daily dose of the Finnish language. There we go.
Can we just shout I Santana and Perkala as much as we want now? I think that's finished.
Right. What else do we have to cover then?
I love Skip. Don't ever change, buddy. That was that was wonderful.
I knew that was a guaranteed golden moment, so I thought we'd at least bring him on for a second. Oh, I'm actually giggling. But yeah, let's look at the LSE there. Sorry, you were trying to intro it this whole time.
Yeah, it was the domestic limits to fossil fuel production and expansion in the G20. This is almost sort of an addition to that kind of thing we were looking at the other day, where this is not even about fossil fuel production being shut down in the third world, but in first world countries as well. The further programs of divestment, as they call them. Oh, pardon me.
This is
the divestment. It's very. Why is my gas so expensive? Oh dear!
Why have we got power cuts?
It's like,
yeah.
We made gas expensive because we banned exploiting gas. It's that simple. It's very telegraphing. It's very, very, very simple. It's very don't believe your lying eyes.
Well, see, it's great. This is an economics, London School of Economics and Political Science. A growing emphasis on fossil fuel supply side measures. How do you stop people using natural gas? How do you remove the demand?
Oh.
Of course, the answer is you can't. So you just make it impossible to sell to people and pretend that you've fixed the problem.
Yeah, that's what's happening here. It's the stealth cutoff. It's the idea that, yeah, and all of a sudden, for no reason at all, nobody could heat their homes anymore. Well, it's like we talked about with the future tech. We're supposed to have this magical future tech that comes in and solves all these problems. It's like the electric planes thing.
The
electric planes thing. Yeah, the electric planes thing is actually offensive. Like that is insulting to everyone's intelligence. But we pretend it's going to be real anyway.
I was at an interview with a haulage company very recently, and one of the guys there was like, oh yeah, we fly internationally, we've got our own planes and this, that and the other, and we've been thinking about using electric plant jets to do this. How does that sound like an idea? And I was just like, that's absolutely ridiculous, you can't do that.
He looked
heartbroken. He said, what do you mean? What are you going to ship, and how far are you going to ship it? Is it going to go to France? Is it going to go further than France? Because in electric jets, you've got it from here to London. at most, and you're talking about a plant pot for the price of a large jet engine.
Find it quite entertaining that they've got this, you know, this is the scheme that was brought in last year, and then I've got their list down here of compliance, and it's like America and Canada are putting moratoria and limits. And then basically no one else other than Germany, Mexico, Spain and France seem to really give a shit. Everyone else is just pulling natural gas and coal out the ground. Yeah, China's actions either focus on the demand side or are not presented under the form of a national policy or law. How do they have demand side policy? What is that? Is that just demanding that people no longer use gas and coal? It's a very effective policy, that.
It's a great point. Like, how do you do demand side policy? Like, how do you, if they, there is no other option. Like, the whole heat pumps thing is just, again, kind of a joke, especially in this country.
Well, making space for the just transition.
Oh, no. The what transition?
They're going to estrogenize the grid. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I've looked into so many things because I was trying to look into, you know, going off grid, etc. And, you know, for the mere price of about £50,000, you could get the used chassis batteries from two Teslas. And, oh, wow. and then about 20 odd solar panels to charge them up. You can run a decent house off grid at that point.
For 5 years.
No, these are used. They will last about 10 years longer than that. Actually, in theory, assuming they don't catch on fire and incinerate your house, because if you've ever put a lithium battery on a fire, whoo, that's a spicy fire. That's just a laptop battery. Don't do that, of course, unless you've got a barbecue outside, because doing that in a house is no bad idea. They do go bang. I've been told I wouldn't do such a thing.
They do indeed go bang.
Yeah, you wouldn't want one going off in your garage next to your house where you live.
Not.
Batteries don't explode, Treg. That's a conspiracy theory, and full fact have debunked it.
Come over here, we'll have a barbecue, and I will show you.
We'll throw some 24-volt car batteries onto a fire. That sounds like a great evening. I'll bring my cans of hairspray too. We'll turn it into a sort of two-stage missile.
the two-stage.
Look, we'll get some scaffolding poles. We'll stick it in the scaffolding pole in a fire, and then we'll lob the batteries down there.
I'm gonna make sure to lick a 9-volt whilst we do it for the real experience.
The real, yeah. It's like the lemon for tequila.
Do it yourself, mortar. No worries.
This next one I've got here though is from the trustable people at the Global Government Forum.
Oh no.
UK's net zero strategy ruled unlawful by high courts. Now I think I put something related to this on Telegram the other week. And on the face of it, this looks like they're getting rid of all this shit. But actually, the real issue they're taking is that they don't have a set standard of what the progress is going to be. And they don't reckon that they're going to be able to reach the goals with the current policies they've put forward. So they're actually going to need more, in theory, than what they've already put through as like net zero policy. However, if you were to just share the headline around, as people were doing the other day, it looks like the policy is no longer going ahead.
No, what they've actually advised is that they need more policy. Their policy isn't specific enough, and they've not got a specific plan to meet the net zero commitment targets. So the UK legal system is forcing them to have more explicit goals in basically ending people being able to heat and light their homes. This is, even if like a political party were to, you know, even if it were naively to think it could reverse the process and come into power, it can't do. It is on a track, and there's nothing they can do about it. You can't have, say, you know, a populist uprising against green policy, because you get murdered like this in the courts, or you have like international sanctions put against you. Basically, it's a great illustration of the fact that the UK government has realized that all of this is completely unworkable and they can't do it. And they're kind of struggling to put out the specifics because the specifics look horrible. it makes it very rightly look like you're trying to kill people and basically deindustrialize and divest everything and everyone and ruin the country, which is what it will do. But you can't say that. And now the court's going like, well, it's very like the Underpants Gnomes meme. It's like ? Net zero. And that they're trying to get them to actually lay out the process by which they ruin the country.
Oh, we should have done what France 30 years ago and just go, sod this, we're just going to put more money in nuclear. They're way ahead of the energy game in Europe. Miles ahead.
Not quite. I'm pretty sure there's been energy price-related riots in Paris for the last decade now.
Yes.
Yeah, but you look at it in comparison to Germany, good God.
They have... The problem is France has ongoing structural problems with energy prices. Germany has massive intermittent problems. And again, what we talked about last time is a lot of France's nuclear plants are aging. And they, again, have a huge environmental fight on their hands with building new ones, and a huge technical fight as well. We're trying to get the French to build our power plants, but the French can't build their own.
So we've got Rolls Royce building new ones at the moment.
The Germans who'll contract to the Russians, who'll contract to the Chinese, who'll contract to people in Thailand or Indonesia or something, and we'll just get back like a box full of bees or something and be like, here's your reactor.
Basically, yes.
But it's full of potential energy, just don't open it.
Well, again, what's happened is that the French have just gone in and basically capped the energy price and said, well, energy is public domain now. Like, we have nationalized the energy supplies, essentially. And that's just, they're just fire-hosing money at the problem, which will lead to more inflation in the long term in other ways, but that is the solution they've got, and that's how they're covering up the cracks, really. Again, nuclear energy in general is very expensive, and the expertise to, like I said, build new plants don't exist in large enough numbers to sustain it. I agree it's a much better solution than essentially committing energy suicide, but it also it's very hard to economically justify constructing them in the way that they're constructed via kind of government programs. You end up with the same problem you do with every nationalized industry, in that you are putting so much malinvestment into nuclear power that it has knock-on effects in other places. And the lights won't go out, but you'll have massive structural problems in which you are still subsidizing the energy industry to an insane and unworkable degree. It's almost like there used to be a market for energy that dictated, you know, what would be built.
No way. you're joking. People used to exchange things for money, and there was no third party involved.
I don't know. There's Epic Ninja asks about basically blackout
how to make your own energy in case of blackouts. Have a gas stove and remember that candles exist and that the end of life is not TV and LED bulbs.
If you require, you know, the problem is with, especially in Britain, is it's almost impossible to hook generators into British homes.
Yeah.
A lot of US homes will have generator hook-ins, especially in places like
there
Texas.
There is also the issue of the fact that you need a generator that produces twice the wattage of the sort of ones you get in America.
Yes.
You can still buy diesel generators, though. You can.
It's very difficult to run them on your own property, though, without having to basically have some like local environmental person basically show up and say, oh, well, why are you running this generator? Where are the diesel fumes going with? You know, have you got the chimney and flue? If the tank of diesel under it breaks, have you got the right stuff so that diesel doesn't drain into the soil? It's horrendous.
Yeah, you basically get you can have an illegal one, but long term you're going to end up with the council up your ass, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, I think if it totally went totally haywire anyway, and it was real collapse hours, I think the last thing you would want is a diesel generator burbling away at the back of your house, attracting large amounts of attention to the fact that you're maybe the only person in the street with electricity.
No, that is a fair point, and considering how disarmed most people are, you're right. You could cause problems.
Maybe get the shotgun license first.
you don't need a license for a crossbow. Taps knows wisely.
they keep talking about that though.
They really are pushing for it. Yeah.
They're very strict about draw strength. Let's see, I could
build a 2,000-pound draw weight medieval style crossbow that could literally put a piece of rebar straight through and out the other side of a car, and I could build it no problem at all. They've got no worries about that. There's no legalities on that.
That what you're talking about is what was proposed is a it's a joules limit, basically, like they have on air rifles.
They haven't yet put it in. You can build a crossbow of any strength or any power you like. I know I do crossbow sports about twice a week now. I'm getting quite into the running around the woods and shooting rubber targets with my crossbow. I might even start doing it at competition level soon. I'm getting quite handy with it.
Handy gay though. No, it's it's certainly maybe slightly better than airsoft, but
hey, airsoft's cool too. Okay, how often do you get to run around at a weekend shooting teenagers with an AK and then be able to go back the next week and do it again?
Every weekend, if you go to the right mall in America.
One of the times I've laughed the most is when I ended up doing Laser Quest as an adult for somebody's somebody's birthday. It was a meetup thing. We decided to do Laser Quest as a laugh, and all the adults got put on one team, and we were facing like a birthday party of children. My friend Mike looks around, looks at the teams, and says very, very audibly, "This shit's gonna be like Sandy Hook." And then I swear I saw the staff like laughing, trying not to crease up on the floor.
Oh, Mike, Mike, well done, mate. That's a well done.
Why does no one do paintballing anymore? I did that as a kid, and I thought that was a good laugh. It's just because everyone's a pussy, and like they would rather get shot with like a small plastic pellet than a paintball.
I don't know. Airsofting's as much fun as paintballing. I've done both.
It can't be quite the same if you're not getting your knuckles burst to all hell.
Yeah, no, I've seen people have to pull airsoft pellets out of the skin where they've embedded themselves in. You can, they'll break the skin. They come in pretty freaking keen.
In BB gun, don't cope anymore.
I can shatter local bottles man. At 10 meters with them.
Local man is actually coping, but they are pretty cool, especially the AK. It is the right weight.
No,
and,
I do have to admit, when I was over at Pete's, just prior to the Mises U thing, he was on the Sunday morning showing me his rather extensive collection of arms. There were some very impressive things in there. One of which was like a genuine mini Uzi, like a real one.
Oh, okay.
Has he got a is that like a proper one?
Yes,
like fire.
Proper one.
It's a transferable. Okay, wow. Okay, very good taste there. Does he have some of the upper kits you can get for it though? Because some of those are insane.
It had a big sort of red dot sight on it and a big suppressor. I think he was explaining to me some of his some of the AARs he has have to have suppressors on them to meet certain length standards or something.
Yes, it'll be pinned and welded. It'll meet the 16-inch barrel length. It'll be a pin and welded suppressor. So he'll have a 14-inch barrel, or maybe he'll have a 14-inch barrel with a pinned and welded suppressor on it.
But no, that stuff was quite cool because it was like on the Sunday morning, we went to bloody Waffle House And he was like, the best thing about living around here is that I just carried a weapon to and from Waffle House and nobody noticed. He's just like, I wouldn't this tiny 9mm. I was like, pfft.
To be fair, you know, I wouldn't want to be unarmed in a Waffle House, having been in one before.
The one in Alabama was pretty nice. Or then Auburn,
I mean, Alabama so. Waffle House is where you see like World Star videos. But, let's be fair.
That's more Birmingham than Auburn, as was explained.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. But I think we're coming to a logical end to our stream today. Trig, do you have anything to shill? I think we've already done our shilling.
I do. I'm doing, we're doing a couple of D&D sessions. We did one last night, so it's normally on a Monday. And again on a Sunday night. And the thing that Magoot said on Friday, as I'm also part of that crime guy's show on Fridays. So, but he gets enough shilling in your channel. So
he's had his shill already. I'll quickly link your YouTube channel in the chat here. I think you are also linked in the description.
I'm also going to quickly post in chat the link for my interview for the Vetan Shieldings event. People should go and watch it if they want an idea of what my talk will roughly be on, and maybe they should really consider if they have the resources going to the Shieldings event, because if it's...
I think maybe we should do a dedicated pre-Shielding stream.
Possibly. We could maybe ask Maven about that. Maybe just a more general thing on events.
Yeah, I'd like to give it like a proper push and a shill.
Yeah, but please, if you are free at the end of this month and you have the resources, which is I know are not a small amount, you should really consider going though, because it's a fucking brilliant weekend. As I said to Maven on the interview, he was asking me about what did I think about the one last year, and I said, well, quite frankly, it was the highlight of my year. Bit of a different story because I went to Mises U this year as well. Kind of hard to weigh the two up, but if you've not, you know, even if maybe you've only been to some of the Nomos events before, or you've done a bit of basket weaving, if you want to experience that on like steroids for a whole weekend, it is the place to go.
I'm looking forward to it greatly. I'm also looking forward to not having the stress of having to speak this time as well. I'm quite looking forward to just being an attendee. So
I'm not going to that one. I'm visiting Bletchley Park that weekend.
I remember you said.
Yes, me and some friends are. I'm going to go and visit the Spy Museum, and Kiki is going down to the Notting Hill Carnival or something. So I'm going to let her do that by herself. I'm not mixing myself up with that degeneracy.
Anyway, I think that's all we have to shill. We'll have some more dedicated shillings for both the Shieldings and the Nomos stuff over time. I just want to make sure I had the link up for people to buy it.
Troll with a Purpose has just left as a great message to go out with, and fantastic advice I think we should all take on. Go woke, short your own shares.
Absolutely solid.
thank you, Ben Shapiro. a wise a bit of faction logic there. But I will just say thank you guys for coming. Thank you for donating. Thank you for coming on, everyone who came on. We'll try and do more of these sporadically. I think it's a good idea to get the community involved. You guys have a good evening.
Good evening.
Take care. Good evening.